about dreaming great dreams. We talked about praying great prayers as they did in the Bible. And I thought about one instance. Sometimes people feel awkward about it. We're going to get that figured out too.
We figured out as we pray, sometimes people feel awkward. They'll go into a restaurant. In this one instance, the dad said to the son, son, you know, let's just kind of have a silent prayer here. So the dad bowed his head and had his own prayer, and the son's quiet and he's over there and whatnot. And so the dad finishes and looks up, and the son's head is still bowed. The father's waiting, a very long. Finally, the son looks up and he said, son, what took you so long in praying? He said, I couldn't hear anything. And so think about being willing when you got individuals together. Now, we try not to shout over the crowd. Sometimes a restaurant's so noisy that we just kind of do it in smaller groups. But in general, we talked about dreaming great dreams, praying great prayers, thinking great thoughts, choosing great friends and mentors. As we get started this morning, here's a riddle. Who or what am I? If I were to say, and think about this, I just have a handful of things. Okay, here's... Now, my other sermon is this. in fact, let me just sidestep that for a second. That happened one time where I didn't have any backup, and I was preaching in Bellingham, and it was a brand new computer, and all plugged in and ready to go, and said, all right, my first point is, and flip it on, and nothing happens. And so I tried this and that, and it didn't, and so I just opened my Bible and said, now, my other sermon is this. I think we'll do a little bit better, but I want you to think about this. And what you can do is get caught up onto slide number 2. And if that's not so, I got a jump drive and I use somebody else's computer. Is this, if I ask you, who is your constant companion? And in fact, you can click on through those things and just hand it up here to me when you like it. You can set it up here and that'll be fine. We'll just do that. And so...
This port only. It does not like your...
Okay, what he's telling me is... The problem is not my Hungarian computer. The problem is the Hungarian plugins. I don't know that that's so. He's doing it there, and so I'm going to let that go for a minute. So think about this: if somebody is or something is your constant companion, it is totally subservient to you in anything you ask. So you say, "Well, it's not Jesus. I mean, I don't command him around." If you think about this thing, it can be your greatest friend or worst enemy. When you start out, as it's small and young, it's easy to train. Later on, unless you do, it will control you. Now, there's other elements along that. So, well, what is that thing or that person that operates in that way? Bill's getting his computer up, and we're going to plug my lesson into his if that doesn't work. The thing that it is habits. Everybody has habits. We got some good habits and bad habits and things we need to retrain. I kind of feel like the Wizard of Oz. Please disregard all the bumpings around behind the curtain over there. And so the reality is that's where we're at. And we're going to talk about building great habits this morning. And so if you think about yourself, I'd like you to consider that. What is there that you say, you know, there are some things that I would like to change. Here are some things that are strong suits. I'm going to put my thing onto yours.
Yeah, we're working on it.
All right. So we may have to go to lesson number 3. One of the things that has been almost a lifelong habit that a lot of habits have some good element but some bad. And that for me and those of you that worshiped with us know that I've struggled with my whole life is my sense of timing. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, you can You can play racquetball and baseball, so you can time the pitch. Yes, but my sense of time, and some of us, is different than other people. It doesn't move at a regular rate. We're supposing that has to do with a little bit ADHD. I don't know. But part of it was early training. I heard a lesson when I was young, and my mother told me a story about here in the Depression era that a bunch of guys were in line for a job. One guy had a briefcase and a suit, and the door opened at 9 o'clock. He stepped in front of everybody, went in, and got the job. Now, what you find is that's kind of a cheating kind of way to do it, but he got the job. And so that left the impression on me is do not waste time. Well, what that does is Paul pushed everything up to the very maximum, most miserable minute and get the job done just before the world explodes. And so one of the things I've worked on that forever, seems like, and only really the last couple years has it been better. And how it's been better is by something Bill Downey said. What I'm going to do is I'm losing confidence in my computer to get up and actually do something productive. And so I'm going to give you guys another jump drive. You got it going. I can tell you one thing for sure. That is not my lesson up there on that screen. And so what happened was, through the years, I would press right up to the end, and, oh, man, I hardly got any time. And if all the stoplights are in sync and no ladybugs hit my windshield, I get where I need to be on time. But over and over and over, I'm 11 seconds early, 11 minutes late, and it irritated me. And what happened was, I didn't know how to deal with that. And thank you, my friend. And so Downey and law enforcement and things such as this, he finally say, well, what about this, Paul? You know, you're supposed to be here at such and such time. And so I said, Bill, he said, you've got a phone. Well, at that time, it really had never occurred to me. I had an older dumb phone of putting a clock and a schedule on a phone. And then because of the feature, I began to realize, well, Paul, what you could do is not only put in the time of it, but it's become a lifelong habit, put in the time that you want to begin wrapping up, by the time you need to get out the door, by the time you need to, you know, kick the neighbor's cat and start the car and all those things. See, I used to think, well, if I got to get out the door and be someplace at, let's say, 11:25, well, great, 10 minutes ought to do it. But I don't know about for you, but for me, there's always 15 other things that I hadn't thought about that jump up. And one of the things would be going to, I'm headed out the door, going to say, honey, and I go, oh no, she's going to ask me to do something. I had just enough time, but she had some other issue. And so it was my own habit of and constant processing of time. I have to look at a clock. If I'm getting ready in the morning, I have to look at it repeatedly to see how many minutes have passed, because there's not a clock in my head that says 1001, 1002. So we're going to talk about some of the things about our life. We can have habits that are good or bad. It may be smoking. I chose this one. You got about 15 cigarettes in there at one. I saw another graphic. Guy had about 45 cigarettes in his mouth at one time. Or gossiping. It can be just a habit. They learned at a certain time and it became habitual. Or here's the couch potato. Man, he's got, I think he's in his socks here, got his pitcher of beer, and has got his remote control. Or a father studying with his children. Or simple things like washing your hands. I like this little guy. He's eating salad. That's something I had to learn to do as an adult. And it was, why? Because I tended not to do that. So think about this. In regard to habit, what you will be in 5 to 10 years in the future depends on the habits that you establish right now. And they will eventually be
your best friend or your worst enemy? So I want us to think about some of the pieces of that puzzle. Really, a habit is like a cable, and we weave the strands day by day. Here's this major cable. Each one has it. There's 1, 2, 3, 6, 7 bundles of it. And I could take one of those little strands and a pair of wire cutters and cut it pretty easily. But the whole cable bound together is harder to break. And the fact is, some people say, yeah, but Paul, you don't understand. I've been doing that all my life, or that's how I am. That's how my family was. And I just can't stop. Sure you can. Is this true? All cables can be broken. I don't care how big it is. Man, it's 45 feet across. Hurricanes snap cables, throw ocean-going cargo ships around like a toy. Everything can be changed. What's difficult is our mind. We think it can. And therefore, for us, it seems like it can. Consider this area in pursuing great habits. Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. Jesus, he came forth to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. If we want to grow spiritually, think about that. Attend regularly and participate joyously. Hebrews 10 verse 25. Do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. It's the habit of some. Some people's habit is they come every once in a while. Some people, you know, with not very much commitment, they'll come on the holidays or come when the family comes. But if your attitude is, I'm here because I love the Lord, I want to be here, and it's really, it's good for us to be here. That we get encouragement from each other. We really like each other. We appreciate the visitors and say, you know, y'all come. I went to school in the South, and then as I came up, well, there was a lot of people that I met from the South and whatnot. And those old expressions, you know, the latch string hangs on the outside. That is, you can get in the door, it's not locked on the, that welcome in. And so if you think about that, I really want to grow. And I, this last couple of weeks, I was thinking about myself in other things that I do. That's not what I really would have planned initially, but I do. An illustration I wanted to share with you. Last year, Glenda wanted to do Tai Chi. You know, it's extremely slow karate moves. Paint dries faster than that. And so this year, she said, I'd like to do yoga. I thought, in this one, you don't move at all, so I'm okay with that. A little humor in that, but the reality is, there's not much. It's just kind of stretching. You hold this and that. And the neat thing at the end, you get to lay down and nap for 5 minutes at the end. So how cool is that? But the reason I say that is because I was running distance in my younger years. I could get up in my teenage years and would just run flat out for 6 miles. And in my later years, I liked to run distance, and I'd introduce my kids to it, and we'd run Sound and Arrows and different things. But hips started hurting, and they got worse and worse, and I thought, well, I go to the doctor, so I don't see anything wrong. And, you know, in days gone by, and by the way, it's not only great to see everybody here, and Joe and Karen, and I'd hunt with Joe, and really what I wouldn't say much is how badly my hips hurt. I'd take painkillers just to go hiking. Well, finally, I go in just a couple weeks ago. I see the doctor, and I said, Doc, what I'm thinking is, you know, you're like a horse. Well, you're just going to have to go in. They're going to have to make bionic hips for you because you're not worth shooting anymore. And I go into the doctor, and I said, Doc, my hips, this and this. He said, okay, get up on the table. He takes my legs and goes, wham, 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 wham. He said, you're fine. You got miles in you. Stretch. I thought, oh, no. And so as I think about yoga, I mean, there's no competition in it. There's nobody to hit. There's no score to it. But the reality is it's good. So I go because I was asked to go. And when I went, I thought, okay, I'm going to be here. And there's just a dozen people there. And I'm going to lay on the mat. I'm going to relax. And that's what I'm going to do for the whole class. But as I start out, they say, okay, do this and the warrior thing, this and that. And I said, well, I can do that. And so I didn't start because it was the most natural competitive thing for me to do. But I determined I wasn't going to be a spectator either. And the instructor asked me afterward, she realizes I'm one of her more recalcitrant students. And she said, "How's it going?" And I said, "Well, actually good. It's better this week." And so we grow spiritually by being together and participating rather than just watching what's going on, or some people just wondering what's going on. And so think about this. The path to greatness is almost always uphill. You don't get better by laying down unless you're injured. And even then, they want to get you up and walk you around. But I've said for years, any dead salmon can float downstream. So if we're going to grow, there's going to be an uphill component to this. So think about passages like Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. We're to grow up in all aspects like unto Him. Well, are we there yet? They said, "No, I'm not there yet. I've got some more growing to do." Or 1 Peter chapter 2 and down in verse 2, "Long for the pure milk of the word, that by it we may grow in respect to salvation." That aspect of God trying to encourage us to be active in this. In 1 Peter, we find that same kind of thing. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 3:18. So if we're here, we think, "All right, Lord, what do you want me to do? What's this year all about for me?" And so as we consider some of these elements of great habits, some people don't. They just coast, they glide, they mildew. And one person I read in Reader's Digest said, "You know, what I do is I put garbage in Tupperware in my refrigerator for a couple weeks before I throw it out." I thought, probably it didn't start out that way, but they just leave it there long enough. Well, that's what happens to biological things, that eventually we just mildew. Well, sometimes for people, it's time management. Ephesians 5:16, making the most of your time because the days are evil. There's a certain time component to our lives. How many people here are wearing a wristwatch this morning? Not everybody is. Yeah, just about 80% of the people. Why? Because we have schedules and time and all these things. So it helps us to stay alert to that. Colossians 4 and verse 5, making the most of the opportunity. And so some people aren't thinking along that line. Well, why? Because we get overbooked. There's an inability to say no. Everybody asks, and you say yes to everybody, but there's not enough hours in the day. We let our lives get filled with the demands of the urgent, leaving no time for the important. And so one individual suggested this, and this was just the last couple of years was a change in thinking for me. Because I thought, all right, what it does is it takes me 12 minutes to get from my house to Kotenbaugh's house. I can get to the church building in 3 more minutes. So 15 minutes, well, that's right. That's 15 minutes if you're already in the car and driving. It's not if you're still in the house thinking about, "Oh, man, I got a toothbrush, I got to shave yet. Oh, and in fact, I went to getting shoes, except tennis shoes, that don't have laces. Because when you're in a hurry, you lace them on, pull, oh, no, the lace broke." And so I would think, wait a minute, the issue is not going to be the starting time of something. Think about the arrival time. And for here, I don't want to get here 1 second ahead of time. Because there's too much road and too much construction and too much traffic and everything to say, cut it close. But I started doing that in West Campus. I said, "Paul, you want to be there early." You ever visited a congregation where you go there and you pull up in a parking lot and it's 5 minutes before and there's no cars in the parking lot? And you think, "Man, I'm at the right time. Maybe I'm not at the right place." And you wait, and pretty soon here's one car, two, boom, then they all come. He said, "Wow." And so let's think about ourselves here. about being, rather than what time is the start, what time I want to arrive. What if I want to arrive 15 minutes? I like arriving here earlier than that, getting things set up and whatever needs to be done. You get have the opportunity to greet the visitors, set an example, and show what's really important to you. Sometimes it's the aspect of motivation in a person's situation. Getting your head and your heart, that is your logic and your emotions, on the same page. You know, I always knew drinking lots of water, eating a lot of green things, broccoli is good for you. But, you know, it wasn't nearly as interesting to me as, Chuckie's donuts and things such as that. So he said, wait a minute, I need to get on the same page. Romans 7 and verse 15, Paul says, regarding a certain point in his life, he said, I am not practicing what I'd like to do, but I'm doing the very thing I hate. You ever do that? Oh, man, there I am again. That's not what I want to do. What if we made a change? What if we looked at those areas in our lives and said, that needs to come up. That needs to be somewhat better. In Proverbs 14, verse 33, wisdom lies in the heart of the one who has understanding. Took me almost all my life to see, Paul, you're thinking about the aspect of start time, but you're not leaving enough minutes for the arrival, for nutty things to happen. So as we consider pursuing great habits, there's some things we can focus on. And you say, there's going to be five things I want us to look at. One of them is putting God first. If that becomes our major focus, here's where it is. Matthew 6 and down verse 33, our reading from this morning. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. That is, here's the body of Christ, and here's how he wants us to live. And everything after that is kind of secondary. I got some dandelions in my lawn. I wanted to get rid of them. And I will. But that's not my priority. Hope to get rid of them this coming week. But in Colossians 3 and verse 2, what we ought to have is our mind set on things above and not on this earth. In Daniel chapter 1 and down in verse 8, Daniel made up his mind. And so that's one of the areas where somebody says, well, should I go to church today? Well, how do I feel? Once you make up your mind, say, look, unless I'm just tumbled over, I'm going. If I'm a little bit tired or just got the sniffles, I'm going. Because it's really exciting to be with believers that are excited. Amen. Think about the number of things here that as we've gone through and we had a number of things to sell and the naps and the bavers took charge of that and just sold thousands of dollars along that line. As we think of other things, Jeff and Travis took down a wall in the internal office, making it better. Tim McVicker put up one downstairs, making that better, and Kathy and Mickey and Omar have tackled some of the landscaping, and Vernon Woods has already been watching out for our perimeter, and we're appreciative of that. You just think about how many things have been going on here. Jim Hester has been working on repairing the asphalt parking lot. Tom Burrell installing the new alarm, motion detectors along that line. Somebody abandoned a travel trailer in our driveway last night. Jim Hester got on that, called the police. Police car comes. Oh, we need to get that out of there. And just has that pulled off, so it's neat as a pin when we all get here. We've got a little maintenance need to be doing on the back deck. Chuck Walker's going to look at that. Bill Crandall and Ludi's been meeting with us. He reprogrammed our thermostats. Believers have arranged and hauled off and gotten bids and worked on design and just established the classes and so many things. It's just exciting. Why? Because our focus is, Lord, we love you. We want to serve you, and it's good for us to be here. In Psalm 69 and verse 9, here's where he said, zeal for thy house has consumed me. And as Joe Bartle commented, it's just a lovely building.
And most of you were with us in West Campus. And if you were, then it's 100 times better. Just mold and basement and all that. And this is great. But the biggest deal isn't certainly the beauty of the building. It's what we get to do while we're here. We want to reach souls. We want to talk to people. And I have individuals this morning talking about how they're going through a list of people and just inviting and offering. Lord, it is good for us to be here. Think about how we face the day. When you wake up in the morning, tomorrow morning, what's coming? Oh, no, it's Monday. Or we wake up and we thank God for either good night's sleep or reasonable sleep or the hour and 15 minutes of sleep that you did get or whatever it is. And you say, I got a new day to accomplish and pursue, and God, I thank you. And so let's think about putting God first. He comes a close second after sports or after school or after something else. Another thing I want us to consider is seeking personal renewal. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, that's where the Apostle Paul tells the saints in Rome to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we've all seen those pictures, and it's neat when you say, here's the monarch caterpillar, and he's cool, and eating leaves, and then he spins this chrysalis and gets in there and comes out as a butterfly. Wings filled with fluid, and he flies off into his adult form. When we think about that, how about you and I? Is there some changes that we need to make? Beautiful passage in Psalm 51 and verse 10, where after David realized all the catastrophes in his life that he caused, nobody forced him to do that, he prays to God and he says, create in me a clean heart, O God. We sometimes look at our lives and say, man, I made this catastrophe and that error, and boy, how about that? David made them all. And he said, God, I want to be forgiven. And then beyond that, not only do I want to be forgiven, that renew a steadfast spirit. I don't want to be 100% 10% of the time. Well, that's good. Every once in a while, there's a burst. But the rest of the time, just kind of lackadaisical. He said, I want to have that stick-to-itiveness. I want to have that steadfastness. I want to be there to be a servant of yours. Sometimes you've seen people, they're kind of a roller coaster. They're faithful for a while and then they fall off. And pretty good, and then down again. So David is being serious, and you and I can do the same. If we think about a third area, and that is one in which we're willing to take responsibility. In Galatians 6 and down in verse 4, he said, let each one examine his own work. And then dropping down into verse 5, he said, for each one shall bear his own load. Everybody has their own challenges, and everybody has a challenge. For some, it's health issues. For some, it's financial. For some, it's home or domestic or kids or outlaws or in-laws or whatever it is. There's always something. Nobody gets off scot-free. You know, if I say, hey, does anybody not have any problems? And not ever had any problems. Well, that's not how life is. And that's what Jesus told the disciples. He said, in the world you have tribulation. That's just the way it is. But he said, now what I want is my followers to realize you've got some kind of burden and you shoulder that. Now, it's great if we get some help, but sometimes it's just ours. And one person said, you know, here is Adam. He took it like a man. He blamed it on his wife. And so, well, the reality is, he says, well, the woman who you gave, so God, you know, I did have a part in it, but first of all, here's this female. Besides, you're the one that gave her to me, so there might even be, you know, he's just trying to cover all his bases. No, and I did eat. It plays much better if you just say, you're right. And I'm wrong. For probably over 30 years, maybe 40 years, I've shared a great little thing I do in marriage counseling little poem, little ditty from Ogden Nash, and where he advises people. He said, to keep love flowing in marriage's loving cup, when you're wrong, admit it. When you're right, shut up. Doesn't that work? If rather than going, yeah, Nina, I told you. Well, that just irritates. What you're doing is loving people. You're taking responsibility for yourself. You're not blaming your mate. You're not blaming, like in my case, my ethnicity, my family of origin, society, the boss, the congregation, the elders, the weather. It's just me, Lord, and I should have done better, and I'm sorry. And so just take responsibility, number three. And then number four, think about clarifying your goals. What would you like to do or be 5 years from now that's somewhat different or better than you are now? There'll be different things that will cross your mind that will be an interest to you. Nehemiah, when asked by the king, he said, what is your desire? He said, send me to the city of my fathers that I may rebuild it. He had a goal, and it was exciting. In the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 38 and 39, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the towns and the villages, proclaiming the kingdom of God. And then what's interesting is what he did next. What you find in Luke chapter 9, 1 through 6, he sent out the 12, saying, go into all the cities that I'm about to go. You're getting them ready. And then he sent, in Luke chapter 10, he sent out 70. So here's 35 teams. Preach. Get out there. Go. Prepare the roadway. And so, what are your goals? Paul did that in Romans chapter 15 and verses 28 and following, where he says, I first must go to Jerusalem, then I hope to come by way of you and be sent by you on to Spain. But what happens is, a lot of times we just get discouraged. We set goals and maybe it didn't work out very well, and have all these things that didn't go well. If that's particularly so for you, I wanted to share this with C.S. Lewis, a comment that meant a lot to me. He said, you are never too old to set another goal or to dream a new dream. I thought, that's cool. Because I've had people in their 60s say, Paul, it just doesn't work anymore. Well, it does work. What doesn't work is us sometimes. And there's resolutions people make. And maybe some of these might be something general that you've thought about, like going in a clockwise direction, either to get organized or help others or learn something new, get out of debt, more family time, enjoy life more, quit smoking, lose weight, quit drinking, exercise. Well, those are good, but those are kind of broad. And if you say, well, Paul, you're going a little quick through some of this, it'll be on the website today. You can get this whole lesson just by going to our website. Because for years they've talked about SMART goal setting. It's kind of an acronym. S for specific. So if there's something I want to do, say, all right, I am going to exercise more. Last year I just had a series of car accidents, falling off ladders, different things. You know, it feels like I exercised about four times this last year. That's not enough. They say you're supposed to do five times a week. I said, well, I've missed that. So where you are going to be conscientious. So what I want to do is I want to exercise five times a week. And it's measurable. It's not going to be 6 hours. If I get in 1 hour total per day, whether it's walking or something else, is it attainable? If I'm on a body cast, it's not going to work very well. Maybe I can wiggle my fingers, but I'm not in a body cast. I'm healed up, and unless I get run over by another cement truck with God's help, I'm going to do that. Is it relevant? Oh, yeah. You tend to breathe a little better and walk and maybe survive the time things that come your way and age and Bill calls me Dinosaurus and or Tyrannosaurus, whatever that is. And is it time bound? That is, all right, here's how I'm going to do it from here to here. Here's how long. That is, it's really measurable. There's ways that you can initiate elements to make yourself successful. That is, change one thing at a time. Okay, I'm going to change 28 things. All right, I'm going to be Superman. I'm going to be on the Olympic committee. Probably no. But I can exercise regularly unless Skylab falls on me. And go public. Share your decisions with others. That's what I've just done. It's scary. Because if you don't share it, you say, well, how's that go? Well, it was fine. I thought about it, but it didn't work out. When you tell others, they go, Is it just talk or are you serious? Recruit a friend to whom you can be accountable. They're not your policeman. They're not your mom or dad. They're just to encourage you and say, well, if you got off track, what are you going to do to get back on? Taking it one day at a time. There's that balance in Matthew chapter 6. You know, I can't worry about what's going to happen 4 weeks from now or what happens if, you know, I break my leg. Well, then fine. I'll hop around on the other leg or wait till it heals or whatever. And the reality is we have weak moments. Life happens. Oh, I messed up there. Well, that's okay. You just don't have to stay messed up. Replace a bad thing with a good thing. All right, I'm going to stop this. Well, generally it works more successfully. You say, I'm going to stop this, but I'm going to put this in its place rather than placing something with nothing. And set regular reminders. And so I said, Bill, thank you again for telling me to do that with my phone. It really changed things enormously for me. I asked Linda last week, I said, look, I'm not asking for accolades, but am I better? She said, decidedly better. And I appreciate that. I'm still not the best. I can do better yet. And reward your success with what pleases you. And so you say, here's what would be meaningful to me if I reach this kind of milestone for 3 weeks or a month or 6 months, whatever it happens to be. And don't let your setbacks get you down. Just demonstrate a positive attitude. And remind yourself why you're doing it in the first place. Then my last point is, in pursuing great habits, is start moving. Overcome inertia. You know, the things at rest tend to stay at rest, and things in motion tend to stay in motion. Here's in Proverbs 24, verse 30. I walk by the field of a sluggard. And he looks down, the wall's broken down, and weeds there. And so he said, yeah, there's a little slumber and a little sleep. I'll get to it sooner or later, before or long. Yeah, they're just putting it off. But what if you say no more excuses? That, you know, the sluggard can have seven reasons why he's not going to do something right. But the reality is, the hardest part is just starting. And then when you start, you take the next step, and the next step, and the next step. Your brain is constantly wiring and rewiring itself. I don't know that we thought about that in decades ago, but it does. It's like the little buds and branches on a tree and the roots beneath. It just doesn't stop growing. And if one part isn't used and those neurons aren't firing, the corresponding neurons kind of wither. They call it pruning. And research done over the last decade has proven that new neural pathways can be formed to facilitate positive changes at any brain age, and brain damage notwithstanding. Therefore, no matter how vehemently some people believe they can't change, they're wrong. We can. So when we think about this, here's my last slide I wanted to share with you. A year from now, you will wish you had started today. So what is there that you'd like to start today? You say, all right, I'm going to make the decision. I'm going to write out my goals. I'm going to clarify them. I'm going to share them with others. I'm going to put first things first. That I want to start in a way I want to be serving God, and I want my life to be even more productive 5 years from now than it is today. We've had great things happen. We've had Thomas Sams be baptized. We've had individuals as Chuck to identify and say, I want to be part of this congregation. If you're here this morning, you might say, that's what I'm ready to do. I've got great goals, and I want to be a great servant of God. I want to be baptized into the body of Christ. I want to be a participator and not just a spectator. I want to have great dreams. I want to think great thoughts. I want to pray great prayers. I want to seek people that are great friends and great mentors. And lastly, I want to pursue great goals. So if you're here this morning and say, I want to be baptized, we got the garments ready. All you've got to do is come down forward and say, I believe in Jesus Christ. He's the Savior. I'm willing to repent of my sins. I'm ready to be washed clean again. Or you might just say, I've been beaten up a little bit, and I just need the prayers of the saints. However we can encourage you or bless you or work with you, let us know as we stand and sing.